86. That Others May Stand. My friend claims that recording this will be good for me, so here I go. Everyone says I will swear the fourth ideal soon, and in so doing earn my armor. I simply don't think that I can. Am I not supposed to want to help people? From drawer 1012, Sapphire. Dalinar Kolin stood at attention, hands behind his back, one wrist gripping the other. He could see so far from his balcony at Urethiru, but it was endless miles of nothing. Clouds and rock. So much and so little all at once.
Dalinar,
Navani said, stepping up and resting her hands on his arm.
Please, at least come inside.
They thought he was sick. They thought his collapse on the Oathgate platform had been caused by heart troubles or fatigue. The surgeons had suggested rest. But if he stopped standing up straight, if he let it bow him down, he worried the memories would crush him. The memories of what he'd done at the Rift. The crying voices of children begging for mercy. He forced his emotions down. "What news?" he said, embarrassed by how his voice trembled.
None,
Navani said.
Dalinar.
Word had come from Kolinar via Spanreed, one that somehow still worked. An assault on the palace, an attempt to reach the Oathgate. Outside, the gathered Kolin, Aladar, and Royon armies clogged one of Urethiru's Oathgate platforms, waiting to be taken to Kolinar to join the battle. But nothing happened. Time seeped away. It had been 4 hours since the first communication. Dalinar closed his mouth, eyes ahead, and stared at the expanse. At attention, like a soldier. That was how he would wait, even though he'd never really been a soldier. He'd commanded men, ordered recruits to stand in line, inspected ranks. But he himself? He'd skipped all of that. He'd waged war in a bloodthirsty riot, not a careful formation. Navani sighed, patting him on the arm, then returned to their rooms to sit with Taravangian and a small collection of scribes and high princes, awaiting news from Kolinar. Dalinar stood in the breeze, wishing he could empty his mind, rid himself of memories, go back to being able to pretend he was a good man. Problem was, he'd given in to a kind of fancy, one everyone told about him. They said the Blackthorn had been a terror on the battlefield, but still honest. Dalinar Kolin, he would fight you fair, they said. Evie's cries and the tears of murdered children spoke the truth.
Oh, oh, almighty above.
How could he live with this pain, so fresh, restored anew? But why pray? There was no almighty watching. If there had been, and if he'd had a shred of justice to him, honor would have long ago purged this world of the fraud that was Dalinar Kolin.
And I had the gall to condemn Amaram for killing one squad of men to gain a shardblade.
Dalinar had burned an entire city for less. Thousands upon thousands of people.
Why did you bond me?
Dalinar whispered to the Stormfather.
Shouldn't you have picked a man who was just?
Just? Justice is what you brought to those people.
That was not justice. That was a massacre.
The Stormfather rumbled.
I have burned and broken cities myself. I can see. Yes, I see a difference now. I see pain now. I did not see it before the bond.
Would Dalinar lose his bond now, in exchange for making the Stormfather increasingly aware of human morality? Why had these cursed memories returned? Couldn't he have continued for a little longer without them? Long enough to forge the coalition? To prepare the defense of humankind? That was the coward's route, wishing for ignorance. The coward's route he'd obviously taken. Though he could not yet remember his visit to the Night Watcher, he knew what he'd asked for. Relief from this awful burden. the ability to lie, to pretend he had not done such horrible things. He turned away and walked back into his rooms. He didn't know how he'd face this, bear this burden, but today he needed to focus on the salvation of Kolinar. Unfortunately, he couldn't make battle plans until he knew more about the city's situation. He entered the common room where the core of his government had gathered. Navani and the others sat on some couches around the span reed, waiting. They'd laid out battle maps of Kolinar, talked over strategies, but then hours had passed with no news. It felt so frustrating to just sit here, ignorant. And it left Dalinar with too much time to think, to remember. Instead of sitting with the others, Taravangian had taken his normal place, a seat before the warming fabrial in the corner. Legs aching and back stiff, Dalinar walked over and finally let himself sit, groaning softly as he took the seat beside Taravangian. Before them, a bright red ruby glowed with heat, replacing a fire with something safer but far more lifeless.
"I'm sorry, Dalinar," Taravangian finally said. "I'm sure news will come soon."
Dalinar nodded.
"Thank you for what you did when the Azish came to tour the tower."
The Azish had arrived yesterday for an initial tour, but Dalinar had been recovering from the sudden return of his memories. Well, truth was, he was still recovering. He'd welcomed them, then retired as Taravangian had offered to lead the tour. Navani said the Azish dignitaries had all been charmed by the elderly king and planned to return soon for a more in-depth meeting about the possibility of a coalition. Dalinar leaned forward, staring at the heating fabrial. Behind, Aladar and General Kahl conversed, for probably the 100th time, on how to recover the Kolinar walls if they were lost by the time the Oathgate started working.
"Have you ever come to the sudden realization," Dalinar said softly, "that you're not the man everyone thinks you are?"
"Yes," Taravangian whispered. "More daunting, however, are similar moments, when I realize I'm not the man I think of myself as being."
Stormlight swirled in the ruby, churning, trapped, imprisoned.
"We spoke once," Dalinar said, "of a leader forced to either hang an innocent man or free three murderers."
"I remember."
"How does one live after making a decision like that? Particularly if you eventually discover you made the wrong choice."
"This is a sacrifice, isn't it?"
Taravangian said softly.
"Someone must bear the responsibility. Someone must be dragged down by it, ruined by it. Someone must stain their soul so others may live."
"But you're a good king, Taravangian. You didn't murder your way to your throne."
"Does it matter? One wrongly imprisoned man, one murder in an alley that a proper policing force could have stopped. The burden for the blood of those wronged must rest somewhere. I am the sacrifice. We, Dalinar Kolin, are the sacrifices. Society offers us up to trudge through dirty water so others may be clean."
He closed his eyes.
"Someone has to fall, that others may stand."
The words were similar to things Dalinar had said and thought for years, yet Taravangian's version was somehow twisted, lacking hope or life. Dalinar leaned forward, stiff, feeling old. The two didn't speak for a long period until the others started to stir. Dalinar stood, anxious. The span reed was writing. Navani gasped, safe hand to her lips. Teshub turned pale, and May Aladar sat back in her seat, looking sick. The span reed cut off abruptly and dropped to the page, rolling as it landed.
"What?" Dalinar demanded. "What does it say?"
Navani looked to him, then glanced away. Dalinar shared a look with General Kahl, then Aladar. Dread settled on Dalinar like a cloak.
"Blood of my fathers. What does it say?"
he pled.
The capital has fallen,
Dalinar, Navani whispered. The Ardent reports that Voidbringer forces have seized the palace. He cut off after only a few sentences. It looks like they found him and...
She squeezed her eyes shut. The team you sent, Teshev continued, has apparently failed, Bright Lord. She swallowed. The remnants of the Wall Guard have been captured and imprisoned. The city has fallen. There is no word on the king, Prince Adolin, or the Radiance. Bright Lord, the message cuts off there.
Dalinar sank back down into his chair.
Almighty above,
Terravangian whispered, gray eyes reflecting the glow of the heating fabrial.
I am so, so sorry, Dalinar.